Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 201 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I have another interview for you and I'm talking with Alina about what is a marketing coach and how marketing coaching can help people who are developing their businesses and who are developing their marketing strategy and plans. We talk a bit about Alina's story with languages and how they've helped her as a business owner who's working in multiple languages. And we talk about developing your own brand voice in another language. And the episode ends slightly abruptly this time because Alina said something that surprised me and I wasn't expecting that. And I didn't really know what to say, but it was good. It was a good conversation and I hope you enjoy it as well and that you can benefit from the tips and the ideas that we talked about because we covered a lot of material in this conversation. So I hope you enjoy it and I hope that you can put some of the tips and ideas into practice. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Maybe you could start by telling us something about yourself and what you do.
Thank you for having me. Hello. Well, something about me, it gives me a universe of possibilities. I will start by saying my name is Alina Bota, as the title of the podcast might say, or the description of the podcast might say. I'm currently a marketing coach and consultant. And something else about me is that I recently got a dog. I'm really proud of that. Is the latest news I'm sharing. And I'm really passionate about what I'm doing right now. I think everybody says that, but I think I found an intersection of passions actually, and that's why I'm bringing passions forward.
I can't leave it there. I need to know what kind of dog you got.
It's actually we adopted. It's not it's not a pure breed or something. It's just a little dog that got abandoned on the street. It's black with a white mark in front, and it's really cute. And it looks a bit like Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon. It's really cute. It's 5 months and it's a girl and her name is Luna.
That is very cool. I could talk about dogs all day, but maybe we should talk about marketing coaching as well. What does that mean for people who don't know?
Yeah.
What is a marketing coach?
Well, a marketing coach is the way I like to present it, because I think it anchors it a bit more into this media, television and entertainment, is like having Robin when you're ready to be Batman. It's having somebody who stands by you, who guides your process, who guides you towards your goals. It gives you instruments, or a better understanding of instruments, of marketing instruments. And yeah, it's somebody who understands where you're going, what you need in order to get there. And it also helps you look inside a bit, because that's the mix actually in the marketing coaching. There is marketing mentoring, where you get some information that are, let's say, that are taken to bite sizes that really fit what you can process at some point. And coaching instruments that help you look at how you see things, what are your mental blocks, or what are your resources that you haven't spotted that far? What are the things you need to train within you in order to get where you want? So marketing coaching is, as I said, like having a sidekick, like having somebody who supports you in getting to your final goal, into being your own story superhero.
And as a business owner, I think it's something that's definitely missing in the market. There are courses about marketing. I've done a couple and I wasn't hugely impressed, because I think the part that was missing, apart from the fact that a couple of them were not very good courses to start with, some of them were, but the part that's missing is the application for individual businesses. And I as someone who is working with you, I can definitely recommend Alina's services if there are other business owners who are looking for marketing coaches. But I think that the thing that I was missing in the past was the application for an individual business, because you can understand how instruments work, you can understand the principles and the ideas, but it's then taking those ideas and making them fit your individual needs and your individual situation in your business. And that's when you can start to see the practical application and see things working, because it makes sense to you in your situation.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of the, or one of the main benefits for marketing coaching is being able to adjust what you know and transform it to things that are useful for you in practice. So what type of posts do you make? What channels, social channels or otherwise communication channels, do you choose to for your brand or for your audience? Understanding who your audience is, who your audiences are. All these are, you might know in theory, even as an entrepreneur, you don't have to have a marketing background, but there's a lot of information online about these. So understanding how these go sometimes you might have that info or you have some grasp of it, but managing to apply it and organizing that information and directing all those informations, all that know-how towards getting results in practice, it's a bit different.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess it's like learning a language, you know, and you can churn out the same language course lots of times in a way that may not be directly relevant to people, or you can, one of the things I really like about my job in language training, for example, is it's working with people individually and seeing where their challenges are and what they can do to fix them. It's finding solutions that fit the problems. And I wonder what's something that you really enjoy about your job, something you like to do, or why it makes you happy doing your job, why you're passionate about it?
Well, first of all, I want to go back a bit because you mentioned the parallel between the marketing coaching and language training. And I think you're also coaching a bit, so language coaching. Sometimes learning how to build marketing within your business is very similar to learning a new language, because it's not only because you're learning new concepts, like marketing concepts, which can be, some people say it's a different language. I think it's learning a new language of results. So you're learning to formulate things and to look for different results that are actually parts of your bigger result, which is a lot like learning new languages. And I like your approach of finding customized solutions to very particular challenges, because I think every student, even in learning a language, every student comes with his or her own challenge, with their struggle, with their, and not just the challenge, but also their, because challenges are connected to objectives. So people might want to learn a language because they want to be on a stage, and their challenge on getting to the stage can be the fact that they're so scared they have stage fear. What's it called?
Stage fright.
That's the one. That they don't manage to actually put their feet on the steps, or that they have issues in pronouncing, or that maybe they don't have the vocabulary yet, or maybe they have they lack a different thing. So the challenge can be different, and it's the same for businesses. It's even if sometimes the objective is common, and I know a lot of people say everybody wants sales. In fact, there's a multitude of objectives a business, an individual business can have. But besides that, there's a multitude of challenges we each face. Some of them are business related. Some of them are role related. So who we are in the business, what are the things that are challenging for us as an individual who now is an entrepreneur? What is the obstacle of understanding, of action? What are the limits we're discovering? What are the limits we might have to accept about ourselves in doing this business? What are the beliefs that actually are not constructive, or they're not helping us get to the result, but are stopping us, are deviating, and are telling us that, oh no, in order to be happy, you have to make sacrifices, and so on. This is just an example that I really like. So going back to your second question, what I really like about my job, and I think it became slightly visible, at least so far, is the fact that I get to work with people and their objectives and their dreams. I do think a lot of the entrepreneurs are building businesses because they're actually building a bigger something for them. This bigger something can be about impact. It can be about a different life. It can be about different work conditions. But most of the people are not just building a business, are building a better for them. And I like that. I like the fact that I get to be part of this, of their better. And I like the fact that I get to see the bricks coming together. And also I get to see the people growing in this process, because that's the beauty of marketing coaching. It's not just about a business.
It's about the results and celebrating the wins with them when something goes yeah. well. And discovering the learning points, maybe if it doesn't, but it's also being part of the journey with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you work in multiple languages. I work with people, some of whom want to develop their personal brand in English. They already have a company established and established in another market using that language, and then decide that they want to grow or to add English as another language to use in their business. What do you think people have to be aware of when developing their brand voice and their brand identity in an additional language?
Oh, I like this question. I think it's, I will start from a step back. It's before entering a different market, it's important to understand that addressing that market means addressing people, because you're not selling, unless it's a B2B business, in which case still consider the people who take who make the decisions are still people. So it's important to understand the psychology, the habits, the culture of the market you're entering. So this is one thing that will it's important to consider when doing this extension in a market. Mm-hmm. And it will impact the voice. Sorry.
No, I agree with you.
Okay. It will impact the voice and the wording, and maybe some of the things that the brand transmits, or the brand expressions, let's call them. And one of the things, for example, and I think it's easier by example, if you have a brand that's positioned as the funny buddy in the market, and the tone of voice is pretty much there, when you're going to a different language, in order to maintain that vibe and that identity, you have to understand what funny is for the new market. Mm. And you have to make it natural. So it's good to learn expressions. It's new. It's good to consider a bit of how the interactions are, how far can you go with the joke, what's considered polite and what's not, because different countries and cultures might have different opinions on that. But in order to structure this a bit, when you build a brand identity, even if it's on your market or a different market, I am a big believer that brands are, or should be, because sometimes they're not, but are in essence organic entities. I advise people, and you know this by now, I advise people to build them as if they're people, as if they're living entities. Describe them as something with voice, with its own preferences, with its own looks and feels, with its own ways of interacting with people. this will put it in a different perspective, because solopreneurs especially tend to define their brands as themselves. And unless the brand is for a service provider, and even there should be some, and usually they appear, but sometimes they're not conscious, there should be some difference from who you are and who you want your brand to be, because otherwise you will not have a personal life. But unless you are a consultant, or I don't know, somebody who is the brand himself. So unless we're talking about personal brands or personal leading brands, it's good to be able to think your brand as something that does not depend on what you want as an entrepreneur, but is something that is working towards its own goals. So your company has its own objectives, therefore it has a brand with its own identity. And besides this personality, it's important to focus on how does this brand personality sound like, and that is the brand voice and the wording, the tone, the emotional connection it wants to transmit and to build. They're all part of that identity. And when switching a language, as I said, and I might be repeating myself, it's important to see who are the people in front of that brand in the conversation, in the market conversation are, and what is the conversation we want to have with them.
I guess it's a balance as well between making sure that what the person is hearing is appropriate for them. So making sure that your wording is relevant and appropriate, mm-hmm. but also making sure that there isn't a massive disconnect between who you are or who your brand is in each language, so that they have to fit together. They make sense, because you can't be like, I don't know, super friendly in one language, and yeah, maybe you need to be a bit more formal in another, because that's the sure. way, that's what's expected within that culture. But that it has to feel real for somebody who can speak both languages. It has to feel authentic, because you don't suddenly change who you are or what your values are or what your brand stands for because you're selling to another market.
Mm-hmm. I like your answer. I'm gonna go with your answer next.
No. That's just adding to your answer. So let's talk about you now for a bit in terms of your journey. This is the English with Kirsty podcast, so we're talking about languages as well. So you work in multiple languages. What helped you to be able to do that, to develop parts of your business in another language? What's your journey been like in that respect? And what are the benefits of having a multilingual business for you? Sorry, that's three questions.
It's okay. I think I remember at least two of them. It's the fact that at least for me, wow, there was a lot of vowels that pushed out at the same time. So starting learning English was actually one of my first goals, because I had when I was in sixth grade, I think, I was supposed to start learning English, because we had French as a first language. And it was one of the classes that started learning Russian, and I was so keen to learning English, and it was most of the movies I was watching were with English, so it was a very strong desire to go that way, that it really was the beginning of learning this English was a bit of a struggle.
You say first language, you mean first additional language in addition, so you had Romanian and French and then English as well.
Not native, but the first language, because when we add languages, as you said, the first additional language, we had French, and I was supposed to start in the second grade. But anyway, I have a long complicated relationship with foreign languages, because I switched schools and places I lived in. So I actually started a bit later in learning languages. I was supposed to start learning French in the second grade. I actually started in the fifth. I had to recover in a year those 3 years missing. Then I was supposed to start English in the sixth grade. I actually didn't. We had an optional of English. And I had to recover in the eighth grade so that I would go for intensive English high school class, which I did, and it was very funny because I managed to get in, I think, by pure luck. To this day, I think I was, I don't know, so a miracle happened. And in the ninth grade, I remember that we had intensive language lessons where everything would happen in English, but I didn't yet have the vocabulary and I didn't know how to spell everything. So I remember the ninth grade, my teacher was, we had this history and culture of the Anglo-Saxon population, or anyway, the whole English and US and the whole history of it. And she was telling us, I don't even know what the lesson was about, but I clearly remember writing in Romanian because I didn't know how to spell the words. So I would get the gist of it and then managing to find the words and spelling them correctly. And it was a very accelerated learning process. But skipping forward, not only I liked English, so that made it easier for me. As an entrepreneur, I see the potential that brings, because English is an international language, and it has made it possible for me to interact with people and clients now from many, many countries. I think it's a bridge. Unfortunately, I don't know as many languages as you do, and I have a huge admiration for your capacity to start languages that for me are a puzzle that I get stuck in like three pieces later. I'm like, oh my God. I think we talked at some point about the fact that I find Turkish to be very difficult because there's a different writing, German because it's a different, I don't know, it's a different approach. But I do believe that learning languages is a lot like giving your brain mental toys. I like it. I stopped doing it. I started giving it different mental toys, but I encourage people to do it. And I also think that learning different languages are, besides the personal development, are ways to bridge businesses and potentials together. And as I said, for me and my business, this was a huge potential. The fact that when I started the business, actually, I thought I'm going to start from an external market and then move to Romania. It switched a bit, and apparently Romania was more than open. Romanian clients were more than open to having a marketing coach. When at that moment, I thought it's not gonna be that easy. But it gave me the opportunity to test market. It gave me the opportunity to meet people from and work with people from India, from UK, from Spain, from, I think I work with somebody from Switzerland, but I cannot put my finger on it right now. Besides my clients, I had different collaboration working projects. It helped me network with people from all around the world and find things and learn things from them. So I do encourage learning different languages. I do have an affinity for English because it's the one I know best. But I think any language that has, let's say, that can be impactful for your business is a great step forward.
I think it helps with building the relationship too. I mean, it's what you're doing is different because you're providing services in English, for example, whereas my courses are for English, but I sometimes have meetings in other languages, to initial meetings or if people have a concern or something. But there's something powerful about being able to build relationships, being able to use more than one language in that relationship for a task that is easier in that language, or in your case, for delivering the whole training in that language. It's a way of making connections rather than just expecting everybody to use your first language, for example.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I find it's makes knowing a foreign a different language very well, and I think you also have a product on this, a service on this, it's I call it business etiquette. I'm not necessarily I don't have an issue with people who are struggling in English, but I definitely find it easier to relate or to get the vibe, and I get a I get a nice impression, let's call it, when people come forward with a clean language, with a nice, confident, and also they have reasons, I can see that they're natural and they have worked on their language. And I think it makes their personal brand look a bit cleaner or clearer, because it's easier for people to understand who they are. It's easier for people to understand what their values are. It makes it a lot easier for people to remember. So in terms of personal branding, it's important for people to remember how their interaction with you was. But if the people only remember that, I tried to understand what they said, but their English was not very good, well, that might surclass the fact that you had different values and nice messages to put forward. And I think that's important. It's important to be able to show up and put the best messages or the best front for your business, to really make it, basically as an entrepreneur, especially as solopreneurs, we're brand ambassadors. And it's important to make a good job as a brand ambassador. Even as personal brands or as just as voices, it's a foreign language. It's, gives us that capacity to carry the flag, but it's important how we do it.
It is, and that's language as well as personality, because it's something that I definitely learning and rediscovering with Romanian. It's about when I attend meetings, I want to have the perfect introduction and to be answering questions and really knowing what I'm talking about. But at the same time, it's not, the language is important, but also being yourself is important. I think for me, I do pay a lot of attention to getting the language right. But sometimes I need to relax a bit more and be myself, because otherwise people just see someone trying to deliver a perfect presentation because I got someone to check it before. And if you don't really find out who that person is, then you can't connect with them. So it's joining up these two parts, that getting the language right and to be the best that you can be. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does need to be understandable and clear, and but also to show who you are as an individual as well, so that people can either connect with you or not, if there is no connection there, but at least they know who you are. And you're able to bring out your personality a bit more in the other language. And that takes time and that takes some practice, but it's definitely possible to do that.
I'm confident it can be. And I'm really happy you had this, you added this layer that, yes, being your the best ambassador, sorry, for your brand means not being perfect, but being comfortable to do it, comfortable to talk to people, comfortable to put a message forward that people can understand and integrate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where can I suggest that people do come and find you? Because I think you've got some really good services and good value to add. And I think there are a lot of people who are listening that could be helped by you and by your services. But where was the best place for them to find you? I'll add your links to the show notes page, but where do you hang out online?
Well, besides the website, which it's, I think the name, I managed to find a name that's very self-explanatory. My website is Coach for Marketing, which with number 4 in between. I hang out on LinkedIn. I'm very fond of the new LinkedIn, and I think it's closer to my type of channel. And anytime there, anybody can write me a direct message if people have questions. I'm happy to answer questions answer questions about businesses at any stage. But as a marketing coach, I noticed that mostly the people in their first 5 years of business tend to have the biggest challenge in navigating the multitude of information and of options and concepts. So I think statistically, I've seen a lot more questions there, but once again, I'm happy to answer questions from any stage, any business, personal brand or business brands, service or product. It's I think until later in the process, it's not important the type of business. It's important the objective and the relationship the entrepreneur has with their goals.
Okay, so I'll add your website link and your LinkedIn link to the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode201. And yeah, thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been really good to get your insight and your tips. And yeah, thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you as well for having me. I was really happy to be here. I really enjoyed the conversation with you aside from the podcast. And I also wanted to add in the end that I think it's, besides liking these conversations, I must point out that it's very inspiring to work with you, because I think you have done so much in, well, I think it to be a short time, because I see the speed at which you manage to create things and you manage to have progress. And I imagine how that happens, or how that that is put into sessions. And I think all that potential and all that dedication is an amazing gift you give to people. And I'm very grateful to work with you. I'm very grateful to be here. And I really encourage people to start working and training their language with you, because there's very few people who I've seen to have these resources and this dedication to them.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all. Thank you very much.
Well, good. I managed to surprise you as well. I'm not the only one surprised. Yay.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.